The State of Arizona Acupuncture Board of Examiners meeting for December 7th, 2022, being held telephonically, will come to order at 12 o'clock. Will our director please note the roll?
Absolutely. Board Member Fontes.
Present.
Board Member Lahavi.
Present.
Board Member Saleem.
Present.
Board Member Tan.
Present.
Board Member Klein is absent, and Chairperson Zerman.
I'm present. Good afternoon and welcome to the Acupuncture Board of Examiners meeting. As this is a teleconference meeting, I will ask that each member identify themselves prior to speaking and that all votes will be done through roll call by the executive director. The first item on the agenda, as always, is the declaration of any conflict of interest.
And Chairperson Zerman, it looks like we may have Dr. Klein joining us.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Dr. Klein, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Oh, excellent. Dr. Klein, David Jerminski will please note the inclusion of Dr. Klein.
Absolutely.
Thank you. On the agenda we were given, you'll notice the declaration of conflicts, and then we go to the review, discussion, and possible action regarding injection course approval. The item was labeled number 5, so we're actually skipping the number 4, if we may. Do we have minutes to review?
I'm sorry, I don't have minutes available for you to review at this meeting. We'll have two at the next one.
Okay, excellent. Then let's go right to item number 5. I understand we have a guest to share additional information from what was provided in our packet. And I'm going to note this will be a review, discussion, and possible action regarding injection course approval. The board, upon a majority vote of a quorum of members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3P. Does anybody have any discussion regarding the material provided in your packet?
And Chairperson Zerman, board members, this is the first time where we would have received an application for approval for injection course for APIT training. And so in our substantive policy statement, which the board approved at a prior meeting, requires that any APIT course has at least 60 hours of training. And that that it be reviewed by the board prior to our it being used by our licensees as an authorization to practice injections. And so it looks like this course does have 60 hours. It is approved in other states for injection therapy. And so I think that the provider is on the line if you have any questions for her specifically. But this would be kind of the first time the board would have an opportunity to review a course of this type. And so, you know, we haven't completely fleshed out, you know, what the precedent is as far as these approvals. So I would just be very careful that you're thoughtful in your discussion about appropriateness for this item.
I will add that my understanding is this meets the requirements of our substantive policy statement. David, are you in agreement with that?
It does look like it meets the minimum requirements of the policy statement. We have a CV from the provider. It looks like it has the minimum amount of hours required and so on.
Are we open to questions?
Most definitely. This is the discussion area.
So I would like to know from the provider if that the substances that are being taught in the course correspond to the substantive policy statement issued by this board. Were they cross-referenced when coming up with this course, or is this just a course that you taught in another state that you thought might be applicable?
And Kim, if you dial star six, you should be able to unmute yourself.
I'm Dr. Tiffany Avery, and I've actually taken this class, so if Dr. Kim's not on there. In the class, the material provided does meet with the Arizona Acupuncture Board and the listed things that you guys have provided that we're allowed to use.
And this would be inclusive of all that you would teach. There wouldn't be anything additional.
Wait, that wasn't the provider. That was Dr. Avery, right?
Forgive me, isn't that Dr. Kim who just spoke?
No, it was Tiffany Avery, who's one of our licensees. She's taken this course, but she's not the provider itself. She was just answering to provide
the information. Could we please hear from the provider themselves? Are you muted, Dr. Corporale? Can you adjust that at all, David?
I'm unable to unmute people, unfortunately.
Okay, because it's clear she's present. She introduced herself when I just got on.
Yeah, she was here, yeah.
Dr. Corporale, can you hear us? This was one of the reasons I wanted to have this item first on the agenda, so that we could have her content, her feedback during this discussion.
Yeah, let me see if I can.
Now, can you hear me?
Oh, and yes.
Can you hear me now?
We can
yes.
hear.
Oh, okay. I've hit that star six about 20 times. Okay. Sorry. So the question was from the gentleman. I didn't get his name, but about this course. This course has been taught for I have taught this course for over 10 years in Florida and South Carolina. And then the substances that we add were permitted in the state of Florida and in the state of South Carolina, and also New Mexico and Colorado. I just haven't traveled to those states, but I've had students that have come to Florida and have taken the same course. So we did put in the description of the course that you all have the substances that Florida, South Carolina, New Mexico, Washington State, Colorado are allowed to inject. We put in all nutraceuticals. Did you want me to list those nutraceuticals that we talk about in the course?
My concern was that I would hope that you would consult the documents issued by the state of Arizona.
Yes, I did see
Florida,
yes,
where you were
yes.
teaching this for 10 years. So yes. I don't want to give our licensees.
No, not at all.
Especially as this is the first one that we approve, that we don't want licensees to be confused thinking, well, I took this course and they said that I could inject whatever into somebody's eye in Florida. And
sure, I understand that. And we did look at what Arizona had put out. And I was provided that by several Arizona acupuncturists. and they talked about the pharmaceuticals. They talked about vitamin B12, vitamin D, vitamin C that I read, and that also I think they included Chinese herbs in Arizona, and they also included some homeopathic injectables as of Tramiel and Ingestol. But that wasn't a definitive at that point, I do not think, because you the board hadn't approved the final draft.
And Chairperson Zerman,
yeah.
Dr. Caporal, would you say, yes, that the substances approved for injection in Arizona is more or less restrictive than those that you're already teaching?
I think they are a bit less than what we teach in Florida, but that doesn't, I didn't feel that Arizona was complete in their descriptive of what they wanted to be put into their practice act.
So what I'm asking is, does your current program, does it teach beyond the substances that we've listed in the substantive policy statement?
No, it wouldn't. It would stick with Arizona laws and rules specifically. Just like, I think, just for an example, Colorado has put in their practice act dextrose, and in Florida, that's not in our practice act. So we go specifically to the state laws and rules and teach from that.
I guess I wanted to be specific about three compounds that I just eyeballed. Penicillin, sure, prednisone, and cortisone were three that were mentioned. And that would not be within our scope. And I just want to be clear.
No. That would be, when we put that in, that's not even in Florida's scope. That just explains that, no, you cannot use those. That's what is not more of less. We're going to discuss that, and that's not in the laws and rules of that state. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I appreciate that, yes, clarity. So it's strictly,
yes,
and
yes,
you do have a copy of the substantive policy statement yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, I was provided it by Diana DeGrosa. So,
excellent. I appreciate your interest in expanding our ability to better serve our patients. I'm going to call on Tally Lahavi, our board member Lahavi, if you would please.
Hi, yes. So this is board member Lahavi. I'm just curious about the actual needle point injection. Is it going, so it's different from an IV, it's going into acupuncture points, and it's...
Right. It's definitely into acupuncture points. It's been in traditional Chinese medicine since the 1950s. And in fact, Maine just put APIT into their practice act, just without even any training, because it's part of TCM. But anyway, which is kind of different. But it is definitely acupuncture point injection therapy, not or points of pain like a Sher points. That's what we inject. Mm-hmm. Did I answer that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
And Dr. Bray, this is Board Member Tan, and just following up on Board Member Lahavi's question, when we're referring to the substances that are approved by each state, are you referring exclusively also to licensed acupuncturists, or are there other professions that you refer to and teach in these courses?
We just teach in Arizona just licensed acupuncturists. In Florida, we teach students because they cannot get their license without having a 60-hour course of APIT. So, or any other acupuncturists that come into our state from out of state, they have to get Florida licensure. So it is definitely a course for acupuncturists exclusively.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And then in Florida, I mean, you don't have naturopaths taking your course. It's designed exclusively
for in Florida, we do not have naturopaths as a licensed profession. Those people that come in that are naturopaths, they have to get their degree or get their licensure in acupuncture to actually practice.
Okay. And I imagine this is an in-depth question, but if you can just give us a brief understanding of the importance of the injection into the specific acupoints. Are they consistent where it's always done in this point, or is it determined by a diagnostic process?
Definitely by, channel theory, diagnostic process, everything. What injection therapy really does, it enhances the acupuncture points. And it will actually move. You can actually, when you inject into an acupuncture point, you can even, lots of patients can feel the channel for the first time, the chi moving through a little bit better. But it's a faster result a lot of times. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. The depth of one of the questions I was going to think about was the storage of the materials, and what in your mind, with the experience, and it has been done for 50 years, what are the highest risks of the acupuncture point injection therapy? And that'll be my final question. Thanks.
The highest risk would be if it was a contraindicated risk based on somebody's medication, and we actually teach that contraindications of every pharmaceutical and the Chinese herbs that we're recommending and the homeopathics that we're recommending. So we actually teach that. And I think the highest risk is if it's contraindicated, if the substance is contraindicated due to a patient's medication on their, medication list. I think that's the first and foremost. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I appreciate you coming on and letting us know that. Helps me understand it. Thank you.
Do we have any other questions? I want to thank you, Dr. Please go ahead.
I'm just curious what the benefit, some of these that people take by mouth or by IV, what would be the difference in absorption going to a point into the body?
Well, IV I would say IV and nutraceuticals is the best route of absorption, but we can't do IVs in any. I don't think any other state and acupuncturists can't do IVs. Unless they have something in their clinic, like a phlebotomist and an MDDO. But the injection technique it avoids the first pass. So it goes directly to the system.
And then there's homeopathy versus injection.
I'm just homeopathic, curious. You mean? You
like
talk about homeopathic.
I guess I'm thinking other methods like sublingual or prolotions.
Right. Right. Well, first of all, it's an acupuncture treatment also. So you're actually enhancing your acupuncture treatment to that patient. But so if it's sublingual homeopathic, let's say it's Tramiel, but it's still, you have to do the absorption technique and opposed to actually putting it in maybe stomach 36, and it goes right to where you want it to do. It does the actions of stomach 36, but also you've gotten the benefit of that homeopathic. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I can understand that. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for your question. Board Member Lahavi.
Thanks.
Is there any further discussion? Is there a motion of is there a motion for approval of this injection course?
This is Board Member Al-Habi. I think it looks promising, so I will approve it. I move to approve this course, Beyond the Needle.
Puncture injection therapy is what she's talking
about. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Item number 5 on the agenda. Do you need me to rephrase it?
Go ahead and summarize what you're saying, please.
So I move to approve the course regarding injection therapy.
Acupuncture injection therapy.
Sorry, I guess acupuncture injection therapy provided by Beyond the Needle.
Excellent. Do we have a second?
Ooh. This is Board Member Tan. I'll second that.
Thank you. We have a motion raised by Board Member Al-Habi and seconded by Board Member Tan to grant course approval for the acupuncture injection therapy presented today by provider Dr. Kim Caporelli, DACM. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I think we should take each name, if you don't mind, Executive Director Jerminski.
Absolutely. Let me just pull up my list so I don't. Board Member Fontes.
Aye.
Board Member Klein.
Aye.
Board Member Al-Habi.
Aye.
Board Member Salim.
Aye.
Board Member Tan.
Aye.
And Chairperson Zimmerman.
Aye. I don't believe there are any opposed then, is that correct?
It's correct. All okay. Aye.
It passes unanimously, and please the director record the vote. Yes, please.
I apologize, Chairperson Zimmerman, board members. So our substantive policy statement requires both that the course be approved, but it also looks like it requires that the individual wanting to perform acupuncture injection therapy be approved themselves individually. So just to our licensees and to the course provider also, just a reminder that prior to you performing an injection therapy, you need to send to the board office information that you have taken the course, that it be filed in your licensing file, and that the board has approved you to do that prior to injections.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the clarification. And this is very important, especially for acupuncturists listening to this meeting. I'm going to continue with item number 6, review, discussion, and possible action regarding acupuncture assistance training approval.
And Chairperson Zimmerman, board members, this was, I put this on the agenda because we were trying to get a couple of individuals who had crafted their own training program for their assistants on the agenda for today. Unfortunately, we're not able to get a good file from them as far as what the training includes and so on and so forth on time. And so for this agenda item, we don't have any approvals for review.
Oh, excellent. Then what I'll do is table this for the next meeting. May we do that?
Yeah,
after the holidays, we may get a better response. The next item is review, discussion, and possible action regarding substantive policy statements and potential rulemaking.
And Chairperson Zimmerman, board members, this is a recurring item so that we can continue to review and perfect our substantive policy statements concerning these items. This will be on basically every agenda until the rules are completed. And so I would just ask that if you have any feedback on the approval process, on what substances that we've approved, herbal therapies, the assistant program, and so on and so forth, that you bring them up on this agenda item and so on. And one question I did have for you was surrounding lasers. We haven't done anything as far as a policy statement for lasers, I think, because licensees have kind of always used lasers under the effective therapies. And so I don't know that we need to do anything specifically for that, but I just wanted to bring it up. We have received a couple of questions now that it's explicit in our statutes that it is approved for lasers. So I don't know if we need to write anything regulating that, or if it's just simply let it be.
I would encourage the next president who begins their term next year to address this. I think it is very important that we have some clarity for this protocol. Is administered, and safety precautions that should be taken. Do we have any discussion?
Yeah. And just for your information, we're getting a lot of questions, from these statements. Luckily we've been able to point people to the SOSANTA policy statements for the most part. And so that's been really helpful to the office to say, hey, here's the answer. It's, line item, whatever, in the policy statement.
Exactly.
So that we don't have to interpret the statute for our licensees. We're getting questions about whether assistants can pull needles, which, they can based off of the statute. We're getting questions about approval programs for the assistants, whether their assistants can practice now and so on, whether LACs can give vitamin injections, which would fall under the injection therapy if they're approved, so on and so forth. I'm getting questions about, traction and decompression machines for back pain issues. I don't know that that's covered under any of this necessarily. And so there's just, we are getting a lot of questions. It has been nice to be able to point them to the policy statements. But if you are also receiving anything, please do forward it to us, and we'll kind of compile discussion items for future board meetings for this agenda item.
Excellent. I think that is a very positive direction for the board to take. And I do encourage the next president to address this issue more specifically. Are there any other discussions regarding item number 7? I will commence then. Item number 8 is review, discussion, and possible action regarding applications for licensure and certification. And we have a list of names A through O.
Absolutely. Chairperson Zimmerman, board members. Richard and I have reviewed these license applications. They've met the minimum requirements for licensure. So pursuant to the board's delegation, they were approved for licensure. I would ask that you just ratify those issuances for A through O and the regular part of agenda item A. The applicant, there is one applicant, Liping Yuan, who was trained outside of the United States. And so the board would need to review their education to make sure it's consistent with education they would have received in the States. And this is another one of those items where we're trying to make sure we can get everything that we can on the agenda. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get back the certified translation of the transcripts back in time for the board meeting. And so this will be an item that I'll ask to put on the next agenda for review.
Excellent. And you'll provide the documentation before that agenda. Is that
absolutely
correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. Is there any further discussion, or can someone raise a motion to ratify for licensure?
This is board member Celine. So when we make the motion, do we need to make reference that applicant A applying from the U.S. is not part of the motion? Or do we just call out A through O on the upper part of the motion on the agenda?
I would just say that ratify applicants A through O, excluding the applicant with the foreign education.
Okay.
Would you like to raise a motion? Board Member
Yeah, I'll make a motion. I move that we ratify the licenses issued by the Executive Director, items A through O, excluding the applicant applying from outside the U.S., Li Ping John.
How do you pronounce his last name?
I just said John. I don't know. Okay. It's probably wrong.
Li Ping Jian.
Yeah.
Jian.
Thank you.
This is Board Member Tan. I'll second that.
Very good. We have a motion raised by Board Member Selin and seconded by Board Member Tan. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Is anybody opposed? Well, passes unanimously. And I ask that Director Jaminski please record the vote. The next item is to review, discuss, and take possible action regarding the Executive Director report, item number 9.
Yeah, absolutely, Board Members, Chairperson Zimmerman, Board Members. Generally, the office is running smoothly. You know, we're still working, you know, almost 100% remotely. We're coming up on the end of the year, so we're looking forward to what the legislature is going to do with our budget in the next cycle. We're looking forward to into the next year, writing rules surrounding some of the statutes that went into effect this last year. Also, January 1, our fingerprinting requirements are going to be changing. So all licensees who knew after January 1st or who are approved for a license after January 1st are going to have a fingerprint clearance card. So just another reminder for our licensees to begin that process as far as contacting DPS. That's not something that we're involved in any way as far as processing the fingerprints or any of that. You go directly through the DPS fingerprinting applicant clearance card office in order to get your fingerprint clearance card. And then we'll simply have on our applications, you just attach something showing that it's current, basically. We're kind of in the back office juggling a little bit how we make it, we make that transition as far as for our current applicants, you know, some of which have sent in fingerprints for us to process through our normal process, but which may not come back until after January 1st. And so do we then require them to be printed again and get the clearance card or so on and so forth? And so we'll be working to kind of make that as smooth as possible for applicants and licensees in the next few months. Do you have any specific questions about that? Because it is going to be kind of a big change for our licensees to have to go through the clearance card process.
I do have a statement. How can we make your job easier facilitating this new process? I'm sure there'll be lots of questions. Would a statement made by the board at this meeting assist in any way, or what would be most supportive?
I think we're definitely going to have to send out a blast to our licensees, kind of reminding them. We've already done that once as far as, you know, this legislation's gone through and so on previously, but we'll send out another to remind, you know, what's coming up and that they'll have to have it prior to renewal after January 2023. And so, directing them to the website for DPS and how they go through that process. We're looking at other boards to see, you know, how they handle it as part of the renewals and so on, to just kind of, copy instead of create new, how they process it. But I don't think that, you know, as far as for our application processing, it's going to be kind of business as usual, or maybe a little bit less time consuming, because we don't have to process the fingerprints and the money orders and send that and wait for things to come back and forth and so on. It's going to be a little bit easier for our licensing process. But I think the communication is going to be the big thing as far as our current licensees. And so we'll be sending out a couple email blasts to remind them about that process.
Director Jarominski, can we just have a little bit of clarification? Sorry, this is Board Member Tan. The new applicants, I get it, they're going to have a DPS requirement, and I would suggest potentially if their application is in prior to January 1, we could approve that, but after January 1. The other thing is for the existing and the current license holders, am I under the correct understanding that that will only come up when your renewal is coming up, that you will be required, and then we'll have to give out a time frame for them to provide that? Is that...
That is correct. So all of our licenses expire at the end of each month. And so if your license expires anytime during 2023, you'll have to get your fingerprint clearance card prior to expiration for your renewal. And so if your license expires in May, you just have to get it before May 31st to submit with your renewal application.
Okay.
And we'll be incorporating the new system of renewal at that time as well. So it should be more streamlined.
Yes. Right, and I'm just wondering the DPS fingerprinting. I mean, I'll have to look all that up, but that is available in smaller locations, or are we expected to go to Phoenix to do that?
No, it would be just like, my understanding is that it's just like with our initial licensing, you can get fingerprinted in Florida or, you know, Massachusetts or, you know.
Yeah, we usually go to a local Flagstaff police station.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I think a lot of UPS stores do fingerprinting, you know, but instead of going through the board where you have to send the fingerprints to us and then, you know, we process the whole thing in the background and interact with DPS, the applicant or licensee would go directly to DPS, submit the application, and communicate with them for the fingerprinting process. My understanding is that usually if a person doesn't have any background, that clearance card is issued within 24 hours.
That was the next question.
It's a pretty fast process for the clearance card. That's my understanding, but we'll see when it goes into effect what the reality is of it. But we're really hoping that it speeds along the process and that it isn't too much of a burden for our licensees. They can get printed where they are.
Mm-hmm. So. Thank you.
Yeah. It's an important change, and again, protecting the public is our goal, and this is an excellent resource to ensure that we're able to secure this position and helping to maintain our integrity as a profession.
Absolutely.
Can I say something real quick in regard to this? This is Dr. Avery. How come this is not done in school before students are in the clinic touching patients?
Very good question.
Yeah, like that was a big issue that I had in school, and that was years ago, and it's still. Like if
there's
a student
an
going
appropriate
in the clinic.
Form for statements made by the public members at the end.
Yeah.
Would you prefer I have this discussion then during the public?
There's no discussion public. The licensees.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, Board Member Zimmerman, Mario, Dr. Fontes, I would just, you know, the clearance card process is very regulated. And so not everyone can get a clearance card, and not every organization can receive, is authorized to be what's called a sponsor in the statutes to receive information about clearance cards. And so usually that's required for situations where people are around vulnerable individuals like children or acute care facilities, you know, that sort of thing. Those are required to have fingerprint clearance cards. And so that hasn't been traditionally the requirement for Arizona for acupuncturists, but, you know, obviously is going forward. And so, you know, we don't regulate the students necessarily as far as that question goes. And so that's, you know, a totally different, you know, different process, different agency that regulates that. And so, we're not involved in that process. Yeah.
I'm just going to add, licensee Avery, I really appreciate your enthusiasm and the fact that you're attending this event. I want you to encourage you to submit an application to be a board member. We would welcome you. I do have a question for you, Executive Director Jarominski, regarding new board member processing. Are any applications in the works?
Well, Yes, there are a couple of individuals, I understand, who are in process of the of applying for membership on the board. I received a couple from the governor's office who are just letting me know they're reviewing those individuals. I'm not sure exactly where they are in the process. Sometimes that takes a little bit of time for them to go through the whole, you know, obviously, as you know, fingerprinting and so on and so forth. One of the individuals that I know who was going through the process applied 2 years ago for membership on the board and is only now in the process of being approved. And so, it's difficult for me to say when those are going through. I have expressed to the governor's office the importance of, you know, having our membership full. That it's difficult to obtain quorum sometimes, and that it's beginning to affect business. And so they are working to get us some new members.
Excellent. I'm very happy to hear that. Specifically regarding surveys, do you have any information to share?
No, we receive surveys regularly. We haven't received anything that's, you know, honestly, usually when you have surveys, it's kind of an upside down bell curve where you either have very happy or very unhappy people who are sending in surveys. What's unusual about our agency, and which I'm very pleased to say, is that we have kind of a ramp. And so for the most part, our surveys are very positive. People are very happy with the licensing process. They're happy with the communication they receive specifically from Richard. So luckily, we have a lot of really positive responses.
That's great to hear, truly.
Yeah. The only other item I have with any kind of news, so two things I want to talk about. One is the Thentia database update. We have extended our Salesforce license for another 6 months. And so instead of a year, in the hopes that we'll have our Thentia database done prior to that, we were originally told that it should be done October, November. October, November is here, and we're not done. And so, I think it's kind of a situation normal as far as that goes with big changes like this. You know, we're hoping to be done in the next few months. We'll keep you up to date as we go through. Richard's really been spearheading that process as far as, going through all of our forms and applications and making sure that things are appropriate and accurate, as the Thentia team creates the new system for us. And with those meetings and stuff, he's been doing a great job with that. I'm grateful for him kind of spearheading that one for us. And so we'll keep you updated as we get a better idea as far as a delivery date for the database.
Excellent. That would be a wonderful leap forward for processing, certainly.
Absolutely. The only other issue I want to bring up is just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind and be thoughtful for into the future is that the board hasn't raised licensing fees, I want to say, in 10 to 15 years. I'd have to look to see when the last time was. It's been a long time. Costs have only gone up in the last 10 years. So we may need to look at potentially doing, a $5 or $10 increase for our renewal fees sometime in the next couple of years in order to stay fiscally solvent. And so we're basically flatlining on our income over our revenues over expenses for our 90%. And so if the board wants to be kind of in a safer position and place ourselves in a spot where we don't have to do a large increase into the future, sometime in the future, maybe a smaller one now is a good idea. So.
Board Member Salen, would you please share?
Yeah, just real quick. I don't have the report in front of me right now. What's the current fund balance as of today, roughly?
Yeah, let me look that up for you real quick. I'm sorry.
That's an excellent question.
And And just while you're looking, if I understood you correctly, it sounds like our revenues are roughly lining up with our expenditures, you know, if you look at like the long term. Is that correct?
Ed, that is correct. You know, we are increasing our licensing base, you know, slowly. And so that's kind of helped keep up with the just general increase in expenses or things like rent and risk and so on. Where is this report? I just had it in front of me. But I would say in the next couple of years we're gonna have to increase our fees.
Thank you.
Would you prepare some recommendations for our next board meeting to assist with that decision?
Yeah, absolutely.
Please. Thank you.
And now's a good time to do it, I think, because we're already going through our rules. It's a kind of a big process to do that. It's a rule change at least. And so
this is a good time to do it actually then.
Yeah. All right. So our ending cash balance. So ending cash balance, $100,020.
Okay.
And we've been hovering between 98 and 101, basically. This last month, our cash expenditures are about 13,000, and our revenues are about 12. And so it kind of, and every month is a little bit different, obviously, depending on how many licensees we have renewing. But we're really, really close to being in the red as far as new store expenditures.
Are we anticipating additional expenditures in the coming year?
No, you know, I'm really hoping that the Thentia change, they're going to be a little less expensive than Salesforce is. I'm hoping that's going to change, affect our cash flow into the future, you know, but you just don't know. And so we're doing things proactively to manage it, you know, but we're within, I want to say, just a few thousand dollars every year of of meeting our of being positive in our revenues or expenditures, just a couple, $2,000 or $3,000 each year. And so, like for instance, we used to get the entire Adobe Creative Suite where we had access to all these different things. You know, that's I want to say a couple $3,000 a year. Now we have only Adobe Acrobat basically, because that's only $700, right? And so, yeah. So we are proactively doing things to reduce our expenses to try to, because we really I hate raising fees, and I don't want to do that for as long as possible. But we're definitely up to the wall where it's going to become necessary.
Excellent. We have a question. Board Member Stelling, please.
Oh, just real quick. I was just going to recommend that if when this topic gets addressed, that you kind of set some kind of, I don't want to say goal, but I'm wary about building up a huge war chest, you know, just like year after year keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I'd recommend that you try to strike a balance where it allows you to put some away for maybe future unexpected expenses, but not building up some kind of massive balance. And I'm sure all of you are sensitive to why that would be. So that's all.
Well, I'll actually say it has a board sweep taken place with funds that we've had in excess in past years that you're aware of.
Chairperson Zimmerman, board members, a few years ago, there was a sweep of board funds. Board Member Selene is absolutely correct that we need to be very thoughtful about that. In the last couple of years, there's been some heartburn in the legislature about large fund balances some boards have. And so we want to be very careful that our fees are basically just enough to keep us going and just a little bit more. We don't want to be charging our licensees more than we have to. I'll just say that we had about a little over 200,000 in the fund balance prior to COVID. We did a drawdown during the COVID period where we were, waiving fees. And so now we're at the point where, we spend about 188 a year. So we only have half, a little more than half of our expenses, in the bank. So for a year.
Very good. Very good. It sounds like we're planning judiciously. There are changes taking place and another review regarding our planning responsibly needs to be made. And thank you for preparing this for the next board meeting so we can make an informed choice, Director Jaminski. Board Member LaHalva, you had a question. You put your hand down. Did we answer it?
Yes, I just, Board Member Celine addressed it. I just remembered we were not supposed to go too high. And at another time, I think he had said we should have about 6 months reserve as an organization. And then just trying to figure out what the goal was, so how much to have in coming in versus spending.
Yeah, I think what you're referring to is maybe when we did the drawdown during COVID. And I think the bottom line was once we dipped below 6 months worth of operating, that's when we should cut it off and reinstitute the fees. That's my recollection, and maybe that's wrong. Back when I was at the governor's office, I think if a board had more, significantly more than 12 months of operating in the bank or in their fund at a given time, that was kind of a signal that maybe fees might be a little too high. So maybe that's a useful benchmark to aim for. But once again, that's for all of us to decide here.
I support that choice. I think it's excellent.
Yeah.
Is there anything?
I think that would be the goal, is to get back to 1 year worth of expenses, basically.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Director Jaminski, are you complete on this presentation?
As far as my what I had for discussion items, I don't have anything else unless the board has anything specific they'd like to ask me.
Are there any further questions? Is there any further discussion regarding item number 9? Excellent. Excellent. I will move on to agenda item number 10, review, discussion, and possible action regarding future regular meeting dates. We have listed 4 for 2023. They include January 25th, 2023, February 22nd, 2023. We've listed as tentative, March 22nd, 2023, and April 26th, 2023, also listed as tentative. Is there any discussion regarding these dates?
Are we meeting less often?
We're meeting to meet the needs of the board.
Okay.
And just, you know, Chairperson Zimmerman, Board Member LaHalva, just it seems, you know, over the last couple of years, we've been meeting about every other month. And so, you know, I hate to call the board, you know, for a meeting when there's, you know, very little to do. You know, we value everybody's time, and so we try to make sure that when we do have meetings that there's work to be done.
Excellent. Board Member LaHalva, are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm going to move on to item number 11, election of officers. This is a notice to members of the State of Arizona Acupuncture Board of Examiners that the board will be holding elections of officers during the January 25th, 2023 board meeting. And I encourage you to become involved. I've absolutely loved serving as the president the last year and a half. I feel like we've done an incredible amount of work successfully as a team. I know I couldn't have done it without you. I feel very good about what we've accomplished and the direction the board is taking. We're very strong. It sounds like we'll have new membership very soon. At this point, I encourage you to take the baton and run with it. I know I've had fun and I feel very positive. Board Member LaHalva, you have a question.
I want to thank you for all the work you've done and being so positive and thorough and encouraging. It's just great. I'm going to miss you.
Well, thank you so much.
Echo that.
Thank you. Oops. And I know the leadership will continue the same momentum, and I'm very excited for this board. I feel very, very good about all of you, and I'm very grateful for your contributions. I'm ready to go on to item number 12, unless anybody has anything they'd like to add.
And Chairperson Zimmerman, board members, I just want to say a big thank you also to board member Celine. He's been his term technically expired in January of 2020. And so he has been continuing to serve, with great distinction and been a great benefit to the board for all this time. And so I want to say thank you to him very much for his service to the board. And he's indicated that he won't be able to continue to do so after this meeting. And so I just want to, this meeting, publicly thank him for doing so.
Well, I would like
thank you. Appreciate that. Happy to have spent some time and working for the well-being of the citizens. I think there are many people here serving beyond their terms as well. So it's been a pleasure. Very much appreciate it. And I'm a little disappointed we're doing the fee assessment right after I leave. That's the kind of stuff I love, but I'm sure you'll figure it out.
Well, you've made some important contributions that will give us food for thought. And I can't tell. I thought I learned it. I do have a full house right now. I want to thank you very, very much. And I know Board Member Fontes. Okay. Board Member Fontes, I want to thank you as well. I'm very, very grateful for your service beyond the date of your last term.
Do we have anyone else here? Need to go.
I'm so sorry. I think I'm ready to call the public. Licensee Avery, do you have anything you'd like to add to our meeting? Item number 12. Could you hold her, please? Just hold her. I have a new puppy. Okay, if there's no call to the public, I will move on to item number 13, discussions of items to be placed on our future meeting agenda. Does anybody have any additions? Board Member Lahavi? Did you have a question?
No, I was just saying I don't want anyone to leave and to come back and visit.
Oh, definitely. This is a great group. What can I say? I've loved working with you. I truly have. I think, gosh, good grief, 1 o'clock. We're right on the button here. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add to conclude this meeting? Okay. Well, I think if we may, no, I think I don't have any further business. There being no further business, we will adjourn the meeting of the December 7th, 2022 State of Arizona Acupuncture Board of Examiners promptly at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Everyone.
You have members. A very happy holiday, everyone.
Good Thanks. Job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. Thank
you. We're going to miss you. And what's fun. Going on? We can't lose everyone also.
Well, we have new board members coming on. And thank you, Executive Jerminski, for making that possible. I know you must have oots them, and it's going to have impact that's very positive. Thank you so much.